True Crime True Stories Network presents Untold Prison Stories with Suave Gonzalez, 7 a.m. Tune in every week on FetLifeStation.com or stream us on any major platform. True Crime Media is brought to you by DBI, FetLife Station, and Prison Productions. This episode is produced by yours truly, Joey DeVille, and executive producer, Pulitzer Prize winner, Suave Gonzalez. Until next time.
Good morning. Welcome to Untold Stories with 7 in the morning and
Suave Gonzalez,
Pulitzer Prize winner.
Today we're going to address a very, very important topic that a lot of people out here perhaps don't understand or get. Dying behind prison walls.
Yeah. And just what that looks like, because I think we realize, obviously, when you're dealing with humans in a space, there are people who are going to pass away. But today, Suave is going to take us through his experiences with that behind the walls and really break down what that looks like.
You know, a lot of people always asking what it's like dying behind prison walls. I don't have the answer to that, because I didn't die behind prison wall. Almost did, but I didn't. But I could tell you this. I could tell you what I witnessed, what it's like to see people die in prison. And the process is this. In the state of PA, if you sentenced to die in prison, that means life. That means you would never see the other side of the world from them prison walls, unless you die and got a tag on your toes. And when you're in a prison like Gratis Wall, 5,000 people, 2 football fields long, you witness a lot of death to the point where you become desensitized,
right,
to them death. I witnessed a lot of good men die in prison. People that shouldn't never die in prison, but they did, because in the prison system,
when you just a second, good men. When you say good men, like, what do you mean by that? What kind of, like,
people that made one mistake and were put in prison for 10, 20 years, that if you would have let them out, they would have never gone back to prison. That's what I mean. You know, but unfortunately, when you're in the prison system, it's a society,
right?
And every society has rules and policies. And one of the policies in the DOC is that after 9 o'clock at night, no guard could open that door. To your cell. No matter what's going on, they can't open that door unless there's a white shirt.
And so the white shirt is the leader of the other correctional officers.
The white shirt is what they call the shift commander or lieutenant. He's the only one that could give the order for any guard to open that door.
Okay.
So if you're having a heart attack in the cell, you probably going to die.
After 9 p.m.?
After 9 p.m., you probably going to die. Because that's when everybody's locked down. All the prisoners are in. The guards cannot open your door. Most of the time it takes a white shirt to come around when they call them. Half hour.
So take me through that. If I'm Suave Gonzalez, my cellie is having a heart attack, what do I do? What does that look like?
If you have a cellie, your cellie banging the door, CO! CO, man down, man down. When the rest of the prisoners hear man down, everybody start getting on their door. Man down, man down. They warning the officer in the bubble, which is in the middle of the block.
Okay.
That it's an emergency. So the officer come down there with his little flashlight, look through the door, make the call to the white shirt.
So that's not the white shirt. The person who came with the flashlight is just a regular guard.
Okay. He cannot open that door. Even if he wants to, he cannot open that door.
Got it.
For security purpose. So he called the white shirts.
And just for clarification, that regular correctional officer, do they have medical training at all? If they were able to open the door, do they even know what to do?
No.
Okay.
They don't.
So they call the white shirt and then...
The white shirt come over. Take his time. You know, he's probably getting his dick sucked by one of these whore guards. And that's just the reality. And in a prison like Greta's Fall, that's just how it goes. That's the night shift. That's what they use the time for, to trick with the guards.
And we have more episodes about that.
Yes.
If you're interested.
So the white shirt come over. Boom. Look at the prisoner. He's probably holding his chest on the floor.
Okay.
Taking his last breath. He called the medical nurse. The nurse is going to take another 10 minutes to come.
So the white shirt also does not have any medical...
Right. He just opened training. The door now and standing on your door, by the door, waiting for the nurse. The nurse probably going to take another half hour. And what I want people to understand is that a lot of these prison nurses are people that got fired from hospitals that cannot work in hospitals in the street. So they take these contracts with prison medicals to be nurses. Mm-hmm. So we're not dealing with real doctors and nurses. We're dealing with people that got fired in the street. So she come with a gurney. They put the prisoner in the gurney. By that time, he's probably dead. They're probably going to declare him dead right there in the cell.
And in your experience, not that this makes or breaks the situation, but would you say that any of those nurses have any sort of compassion, maybe for people who are on the brink of death and need someone to not just be so rough? And
I mean, in all fairness, yes.
Okay.
You may have one or two, but they don't have the control to do nothing. Nothing.
Okay.
They are prison nurses. The only thing they could give you is a Tylenol. Everything in the prison and the DOC is cured with a Tylenol. Wow. So when they come, that person is probably dead. Pick him up. They're going to ask his cellie to help put the body on the gurney. As soon as he get on the gurney, they cuff him up to the gurney. Mm. Handcuff and shackle. Now, they take him down. They wheel him down to the hospital. It's the night shift. They're going to wait till the morning shift. So that body's laying in a hallway. Where you see people walking back and forth in the hallway with a sheet over. That's how everybody knows it's a dead body.
Wow.
Right. Now they got to notify the medical examiner in the street. They're going to take a few hours. So that body is, let's say if you die at 2 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. 8 o'clock in the morning, it's a new shift. 6 o'clock, the new shift start. 8 o'clock, all doors open. It means like moving forward, going to work, whatever they got to do. Especially if you're in the hospital, you see the body in the hallway.
Yeah.
There is no dignity in that.
None.
There's no dignity in dying in prison.
Yeah.
The body's in the hallway. Everybody's asking, who's that? Who died? Right. So the minute they find out who died, prisoners, you know, they vicious. They go back to the cell. Hopefully the guard forgot to put a lock to secure the cell. Hmm. If they didn't, somebody's going to rob their cell. They're taking the TV, radio, typewriter, commissary, personal hygiene items, whatever the prisoner see of value. They're going to raid that cell. He don't need it. That person is dead. This is the reality of prison. So now you're waiting. People's walking back and forth. Oh my God, he was a good brother. You know, the regular bullshit we do. But that body's in the hallway waiting for the medical examiner. When the medical examiner come, they snap another set of handcuffs and another set of shackles before they wheel the body out. They got to make sure that body is really dead.
Outside of the prison.
Outside of the prison.
Okay.
So they put the body in a body bag, shackled and handcuffed.
Wow.
Now, can you imagine that?
No.
Can you imagine your loved one already dead for hours, shackled up, getting shackled twice before they could wheel the body out?
Yeah, that's actually insane.
Prison life.
Yeah, that's insane.
So the medical examiner come, they take him to the hospital. where they cuff you up again before they put you in the freezer.
So just a regular hospital, like they could take them to like Temple Hospital or
any hospital, wherever they're taking the body.
Okay.
But they cuff you up again and shackle you up again. And then the hospital got to declare you dead.
So at what point, okay, if a medical examiner arrives on the scene or a nurse or whatever and they're declared dead, wouldn't the coroner at some point be called?
It's the prison process. It's the prison process. You got to get declared dead at least 3 times before they know you dead for real.
Okay.
You know, that's the DOC policy.
Okay.
But I want people to understand. Imagine this is your loved one.
Yep.
Your son.
Yep.
Your daughter. Your husband. Your side dude. Or your side chick. Or your grandkid. Mm-hmm. This is how they die before you get the body. Mm. You know. And in some cases, if that person don't have an emergency contact person on paper, they take the body and throw it in a ditch behind the prison, what they call prison cemetery. Wow. You can't even see it. If you drive through it, you don't even know it's a cemetery because there's a wall in the ditch where they put the bodies at.
Are there multiple ditches? Like, are we talking pallets where you can, like, bodies are separated from other bodies?
No, it's in the same
everybody's ditch. Just
same hole.
Wow.
Yes. That's how they bury you in the prison.
Wow.
Nobody knows where it's at. So you just be unforgotten. No crosses, no number, nothing. Just in the ditch with everybody else.
Wow.
That's what dying in prison is like.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what it's like. So for the people that have other ideas, there's no dignity of dying in prison. For people's loved ones, my suggestion is, even if you can't go visit on a weekly, monthly basis, at least try to stay in touch. Because when the prison know that person has a loved one out here, they treat you a little better. They would notify you when that person passed away. If you don't have an emergency contact, you're just dying in the world by yourself.
Just another body.
Just another body.
Yeah.
Especially in the DOC. You're just another number. Mm-hmm. And the fucked up part about it is that once you die, they keep your prison number activated for a year.
What's the reason behind that?
Money.
Wow. Money.
If your number is still activated, they get that $50,000-$60,000 they get for that body.
Wow.
For that year.
Wow.
So if you die before that fiscal year, technically you're still in the system. You're not completely off the count. Wow. You're still on count time.
Wow. So I'm thinking about how that, you know, may affect someone on the outside. Would I, like, you know, they have the inmate lookups. If I'm on the outside and I haven't heard from my family member for a while and I don't know how to get in contact with them, maybe I'm not on their call list when they're calling out. If I look it up, is it still going to say they're an active person in the prison?
Yes.
For the full rest of that year?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And what happened is you might send some letters, you don't get no response, you know, and you might think, oh, he don't want to be bothered, she don't want to be bothered.
Wow.
No. Right now, I think it's Mississippi that's going through that, where people's loved ones been buried in the prison cemetery and they found it was never notified.
Wow.
So it's an issue that a lot of people in society don't understand, but it happens every day.
Yeah.
Every day. Especially in PA, where you got lifers that's been in jail 50, 60, 65 years. You know, no family. They're just gone.
Yeah.
They're just gone. And the fucked up part about it is that we run around calling each other brothers. Mm-hmm. But the minute you die, I'm going to disrespect you by robbing yourself.
Yeah.
For some commissary.
So, I mean, we talked about that part. Obviously, like you said, people are ruthless. And also, there's a lack of resources oftentimes in prison. So, I'm not justifying that behavior. It's not right, but it happens. What does it look like when somebody that you love passes away? Is there a way that you guys, like, you know, memorialize that person? Or were there moments where you had something to, like, celebrate their life?
I mean, what the prison used to do, because Gratis Fall was such an old prison where it housed mainly lifers. When you die, they put a picture of your ID up on the bulletin boards. And they hold memorial services down the chapel. Then everybody get up there and say how good of a person you was. And that's it. Wow. That's it. That's it. We used to call that the wall of shame.
Wow.
When we saw, because it was like every day you saw somebody you know, picture go up. It was like a bulletin. It was like, imagine being on TikTok. And by the hour, you get people, pictures up there, such and such died. Such and such died. You know, that was the wall, Shane. I used to tell people, that's the wall I never want to be on in prison. You know, and I don't know nobody that wanted to be on that wall, but the reality is they'd be serving life or what they call life by numbers. Probably won't die in prison. That's the reality.
Yeah.
Not too many lifers get to come home from prison alive. So again, to the people that ask me what it's like to die in prison, I didn't die in prison. I made it out. But I've witnessed people die in prison. In my 31 years being locked up inside SCI Gratis Fall, I witnessed over 480 people die.
Wow.
And that's nothing. Just imagine, we in a community of 5,000 people.
Yeah.
And people dying every day.
Yeah, that's like, that's insane.
It sounds like a big number, but it's a small percentage.
It's like 10%. That's pretty high as far as like witnessing deaths.
Yes. And I'm just talking about people dying of heart attacks, cancer, all type of disease.
Yeah.
Because in the prison system, if you get cancer, they do not tell you that you have cancer till you got like 6 months to live.
Yeah.
They don't tell you. You know, now if we're going to add the number of people that I see murder in the prison, that's a whole different number. It's a whole different number.
Different than the 10%. The 10% is like 10%. Natural causes.
Natural causes.
Okay, got it.
Guys that's 60, 65 and up.
And even for natural causes, like, you know, 10%, that's like one out of every 10 person that you look at might pass away over the 31 years that you were there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yearly, we used to see like 15, 20 people die. Easily. Okay. Easily. Easily. You know, then you got the suicides. Then you got people that just overdose on drugs.
Yeah.
Then you got the people that got stabbed. People that go crazy and jump head first from the second tier.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of things. But the fact is, the process is the same.
Right. For the bodies.
For the bodies. Nobody get a different treatment.
Yeah.
Nobody.
That's heavy stuff.
Heavy.
Yeah.
And there you go, people. That's the process when you die in prison. And you listening to Untold Prison Stories with Suave Gonzalez.
7 in the morning. 7 a.m.
See you next time.
True Crime, True Stories Network presents Untold Prison Stories with Suave Gonzalez, 7 a.m. Tune in every week on FetLifeStation.com or stream us on any major platform. True Crime Media is brought to you by DBI, FetLife Station, and Prison Productions. This episode is produced by yours truly, Joey DeVille, and executive producer, Pulitzer Prize winner, Suave Gonzalez. Until next time.